John 5, after this was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In those lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season in the pool and troubled the water. And whosoever, I like that Bible word, whosoever, I want to park right there just a minute and say something while you're standing and stretching. I always like to tell our new families and remind our older families that this is a place where sinners are welcome. So if people come in and they ain't got your hairstyle and they look like they done fell up in your tackle box, don't say nothing to them. Just let Jesus get a hold of them. Because He ain't never cleaned ne'er fish till He caught it first. And if there's anything that's stifling and killing our independent Baptist churches, it's we've got our doors so narrow that sinners can't get in there. So I just want to warn you, it may be a few bikers come in and sit. I just want to warn you that it may be some people don't part their hair just like you don't part your hair. But I'm glad everybody don't part their hair the way you part your hair. And everybody may not drive what you drive. But glory to God, I'm glad it's a place where they hear an old King James Bible preached again. Amen. And so He said these words, "For an angel went down, troubled the water, that whosoever," I'm glad I'm one of them, don't never let anybody tell you that you're not one of them, "whosoever then first after the troubling of the water," and I love this right here in verse 4, "stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had." Not only is there a whosoever gospel, but it's a whatsoever gospel. It don't matter what you've done, the blood of Jesus can wash you clean this morning. Matter of fact, the reason some of you don't get saved, the devil will tell you you've done too much wrong to get forgiveness for. But I sure am glad there's a God in heaven can forgive us of all of our sins. He said, "whosoever and whatsoever." But He said a certain man was there. He had an infirmity 38 years. He'd been down in a bad position. The Bible said, I like this in verse 6 now. Things fixing to go to picking up. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, He saith unto him, "Wilt thou be made whole?" And the impotent man answered him, "Sir, I have no man." Boy, that sounds like the average Baptist church. "When the water's troubled, to put me into the water. But while I'm coming..." Another step up down before me. Time out. I'm glad nobody can break line in front of you getting to Jesus. Aren't you glad nobody can break line ahead of you? He said, "I done got down there where you was, but folks keep breaking line." I'm glad God's bigger than the line breaker. And He said, "Rise, take up thy bed and walk." And I like this word. And immediately the man was made whole, took up his bed and walked. On the same day was the Sabbath. And the Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, "It's the Sabbath day. It's not lawful for you to carry your bed." I love going against religion. I mean, I love doing folks. I love doing things in the honor of Christ that religious people don't think you're supposed to do. Like preach. Or shout. Or cry. Or give God all of the preeminence. He answered them, "He that made me whole, the same said to me, take up my bed and walk." Then asked they him, "What man is that which said unto thee, take up your bed and walk?" And he that was healed wist not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed or hid himself away, and a multitude bid in that place. Afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple and said to him, "Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more." Watch this now. sin no more, lest the worst thing come unto thee. I want to park right there just a minute. It may be the reason we ain't going nowhere because we got sin in our life. See, his issue was he had done a sin in his past and he is a paying for it now. Don't think it ain't a payday someday. Be sure your sin will find you out. So, the man departed, verse 15. He said, sin no more, lest the worst thing come unto thee. Now, there is some worse situations than what you was in. You may just think it was bad before you got saved, but you go back down there, and you may find out it can be the old word worser than it's ever been. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which made him whole. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. And Jesus answered them, my Father worketh hereunto, and I work. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him because he had not only broken the Sabbath but said also that he was God his Father, making himself equal with God. Thank y'all for standing today, honoring the reading of the Word of God. I'm interested in verse number 4, and I want to preach a message today on troubled water. Troubled water. He said an angel went down at a certain season in the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then, after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. Father, we love you today. We thank you for the Lord Jesus. Now, Lord, after I preach this sermon, I've got to go into a place that I don't want to go. And I don't have the words to say. But Lord, I'd ask you to help me this evening, and I ask you to help those that's at that place today of sorrow. But God, this morning, now's the time that you've allotted us to preach your word. And so, Lord, I need more help now than I do then. Lord, I don't have the words to say today. There's no preaching in me unless the Holy One come down and would touch me. Lord, and I'd ask you to let me be a blessing to your people today. And I pray if it'd be one here lost, God, you'd trouble the water. God, you'd stir things in their life. And you could give them something that only you, our good God, could give them today. Thank you for the good Spirit of God we've had and sensed in our church. Thank you for this fine family, Lord, that you've allowed to come and minister to us by song today. Help us now in the preaching of thy word. And God, I'll be careful to honor you and thank you for everything in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Well, you'll notice in John 5, verses 1 through 2, there is a crowd on the scene. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now, here there was a feast going on, and isn't it amazing that in the Old Testament that people had a feast unto the Lord, but here some things have changed. Now it's become the feast of the Jews. It sounds like that man's wanting to have the preeminence. It reminds me of the day and hour that we live where old-fashioned churches used to give the Lord the preeminence, but now it's all about them. And can I tell you that that gas is way too high to go to a dead church this morning. Now, they were making things upon themselves. They were wanting themselves to be something. A feast of the Jews. They were celebrating who they were, instead of celebrating who He is. And this morning, don't never lose the focus of why we come to church. We come to church not to be seen and not to be pampered, but we come to the church to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And so we see a crowd there of God's people, but they are having a feast of the Jews. No longer have they met in the honor of God, it's in the honor of them. Reminds me of the Laodicean church in Revelation chapter number 3. It's no longer about him, but now it's become about them. I'd ask you today, have you ever got your feelings hurt? I love what Brother Earl Hughes said at our church one morning. He was 83 years old at that time, and he was preaching in a big way. I was so honored to have Brother Hughes in before he went to heaven. I'll never forget what he told this congregation that morning, because it comes up in my sermon a lot in the sermons that I preach. He's preaching in a big way, and of course I was sitting over there where I always sat, and all of a sudden he stopped, and he put his finger at his lips, and he said, has any of you ever been offended? And I noticed whenever one of you turned to that chair, he is preaching to the right crowd. And I said, well, you just don't know who you're preaching to this morning, Brother Earl. There's a lot of this crowd been offended because I've been their preacher nearly 20 years. He said, well, let me tell you this. If you've been offended, why you've been offended? Because you thought too much of yourself. Can I tell you that'll help you today? Boy, we find in the Laodicean church age, the church that has made God sick. He said, I wish you were cold or hot. This lukewarmness says it nauseates me. And isn't it amazing? Watch this now. The same church that makes God sick, there is His Son knocking on the door wanting a part of it. Boy, isn't that something that makes God mad, but His Son's saying, I sure wish y'all would let me in there. Can I tell you the things that we make God sick and the things that we make God mad? I'm glad He's got a Son that's a knocking on our heart saying, I wish you'd let me in and change what you're doing. Matter of fact, I'm going to tell you, only Jesus changes things. And so now we see a crowd, they having a feast of the Jews, and so we see a crowd has surfaced, and not only the people, but now we see the person. All of a sudden, the Bible says, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Aren't you glad that Jesus is concerned in the affairs of men? Who are we to experience the God of heaven like we've experienced this morning? I love it when the Holy Spirit of God begins to move and begins to minister. And I'll always remind you that these altars are open every minute of the service here. And be careful when people come to the altar. Be careful, hon, that you don't say, well, they're getting just what they deserve. Because I wonder what me and you deserve this morning. You see, if we was going to put a finger at somebody, then I'm afraid we'd have to be putting a finger at me and you. So be careful when people come to the altar that you're not saying, well, they're getting exactly what they deserve. Oh, I'm glad that Jesus is interested in individuals. Matter of fact, it amazes me that He don't know us by number, but He knows us by name. It's just like our good God would be interested in the affairs of men. Some of you think that maybe it's by accident that you've come in this church this morning. It's no accident that you've just stumbled in this place today. God has something for you to hear out of His Word this morning. And just maybe, you're tired of going through the motions. And I tell you what, you ought to clean your little Baptist pew off this morning and throw your little Baptist hand up toward glory and say, thank you, God, that you are interested in the affairs of men. See, Brother John, Miss Gail come to the altar. Now, y'all don't know that because you're not the pastor. You're not as close to them as I've been. God took it upon Himself to come to their house in the late 60s and save both of them. That's just like our God. Aren't you glad that He's interested in the affairs of men? When we're minding our own business, we've got a Jesus that's interested in me and you. And you say, preacher, I wish you'd do this or do that. I'm going to tell you something. As our church grows, thank God it's growing, you're looking at a preacher that's getting real busy. And I miss a few calls. And I can't answer everything. But I want to remind you, there is a God in heaven that loves you and is concerned about you and can do anything that you need done this morning. I'm glad He's concerned about the affairs of men. All of a sudden, and I don't know why, I remember one time, the Lord said, "Let us go unto Bethany again." And the disciples said, "Lord, where are you going back down there? They throw rocks at you the last service." But He said, "Nevertheless, I'm going back." I wonder what we ought to owe Him because He kept coming back knocking on our heart. Boy, I'm glad He's interested in me and you. And so we see this crowd here and we see the people, but now we see the person. But have you noticed the place? Watch, something's fixing to unfold in our Bible. And you don't know about it unless you have somebody to explain to you. But notice the place. Now there's at Jerusalem by the sheep market. One of the writers said, you'll notice that the market is in italics in your King James Bible. Means that there that the scribes inserted that because they really didn't have a word. But maybe a better word would be gate. At the sheep gate. And there's no errancies in this Bible. Nothing wrong with this Bible. The translators put this that we might understand. But let's put something right here. The sheep market or the sheep gate of Pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda. You know what that word means? It means house of mercy. Now watch. Having five porches. Here's a house of mercy, Bethesda. Here's five porches. It's got grace. And here's the sheep gate, and the Lamb of glory comes through. And can I tell you what happens when you get around the house of mercy and the day of grace and the Lamb of God? Something's going to happen. Isn't it amazing? Through the sheep gate walked the Lamb of glory. Isn't that amazing? The sheep gate at the old temple. They had gates set all around that courtyard for everything. And boy, it's really good if you study that out. There was the sheep gate. Did you know in Nehemiah? You'll find out it was the first gate that went into the old temple. Why is that? Because it reminds us that everything flows from the Lamb of God. Let me tell y'all something this morning. If the Lamb of God did not have preeminence in this place, if the Lamb of God was not exalted, we'd be burning these lights for nothing today. And so therefore, He must have the priority. We must always realize that the sheep gate is the first gate. Boy, the sheep gate, it always reminded them that there the sheep came to the sacrifice. Aren't you glad that Jesus paid the sacrifice for me and you? And then there was the fish gate. As they would go in and out of that, it ought to remind us in the New Testament church our responsibility to be fishers of men. Oh, I believe in a great commission. Some of you don't believe in mission. You need to get right with God. Let me tell you, honey, if God wasn't a mission-minded God, none of us would be here this morning. We love Him because He first loved us. Glad we serve a mission-minded God. I believe He wants every New Testament local church to be a mission-minded body. Thank God for a missionary. Thank God for a little mission church down in South Louisiana where you go down there. I'm going to tell you, honey, if this atmosphere was in that place, there's no telling. You wouldn't even be able to get in the door this morning. I thank God for a preacher boy. I get a King James Bible, open up in a storefront building, and the Holy Ghost just go to Addie, preaching truth and glorifying His Son. Thank God for missionaries in this day. Hallelujah. I'm getting happy on my own preacher. Thank God for mission-minded churches. I thank the Lord that we have a mission-minded God. Brother Mike, I remember when we first started in the house. You stuck a sign. I got out there in my study now. Liberty Baptist Church stuck it in the ground. Brother David, I'd be just like a little old boy on Sunday morning. Y'all remember, I'd look out and I'd part the blinds looking out to see if anybody was going to come to church that morning. Thank the Lord we have a mission-minded God. Then one Saturday, An old preacher got out of his car limping where the Germans took a machine gun, shot his legs out from under him. He was walking in my little single-wide trailer, belittling to me what I didn't know, friend. I was sitting there rolling up another one, fixing to forget about my troubles. And I seen the man of God and said, oh no, here comes an old missionary-minded man of God. I done heard him preach, and he'd get red-faced and loud and scared me to death the way I'm doing some of you this morning. Boy, he come in my house. I'll never forget. I raised up the couch cushion, throwed that bag of weed on that couch cushion. That old man come in, sat right down on top of my devil, and told me about the dearest friend. Is anybody glad there's a mission-minded God that come down to where you was one day? Oh, I'm so glad He loves us and He's mission-minded. You better be glad. We've got a God that's interested in the affairs of men. And so here we see this place. We see the sheep gate and five porches. And the Lamb of Glory comes in the house of mercy. And there is the porches, five of the number of grace. Aren't you glad we still live in the day of grace? A lot of folks, we hear a lot about the preaching from Sinai, thundering from the law of Sinai, but what about the grace from Calvary? I believe in doing right, living right, dressing right, and spitting white. Somebody say amen. I mean, you know that you preach in a country church when the women's got a spit tune in the bathroom. Somebody say amen right there. But let me tell you something, friend. All the legal bondage I could preach this morning would never set a sinner free. But I'm glad when Jesus mounted that cross of Calvary and He said, it's finished. I'm glad the law was finished. Thank God our righteousness is in Christ today. And if you're waiting to get saved before you leave it, you'll die and go to hell in your sin. But I'm glad we can trust Him by grace through faith, and He can live and do great things out of us this morning. Nothing that the law of Moses could do. Brother Mike preached a great sermon last Sunday night. There was a religious man come and said, what must I do? And Jesus knew all about him. He said, I tell you what. He said, you've been a pretty good boy. He said, yeah, all them things I've kept from the youth up. He said, yeah, but one thing you lack. Go sell all your riches and give to the poor. And he went away sorrowing. Far as we know, he never got saved because he was holding on to one thing. Aren't you glad Jesus said it's done? Amen. Aren't you glad that you ain't got to do this and do that? Aren't you glad you're simply saved by grace through faith? That's what God's done for you on a cross. He said He's given every man the measure of faith. We must access that faith by grace to be saved. You say, preacher, I've been saved. Tell me this, when did you get lost? Boy, I'm glad He still saves those sinners. But we see now the crowd. We see the people and we see the person and we see the place. But secondly, I love this. There's not only the crowd, but there's the case. In verse 3, these lay a great multitude of impotent folk. Now, here's a great church setting. Watch what happens. Blind. They might well run into you when you get up to go to the bathroom. Halt. Couldn't get up and do nothing. Withered, didn't have enough strength for nothing. Just a great picture of the sinner waiting for the moving of the water. Now we see the case. Then verse 5, a certain man was there. He had infirmity 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lie and knew that it had been now a long time in that case, he said to him, wilt thou be made whole? That's the greatest question that he asked. Now, I want to ask somebody something. I've heard a lot of people ask this question. Okay, the Lord is a hyper-Calvinist. No, He's not. Because I want to show you something. Somebody said, well, He's the only one that could get saved. I don't know about all that. Because I want to show you what the Bible says. Now, not only His case, but watch our Christ. He said, wilt thou be made whole? I don't think He whispered that. I don't think He walked up to His ear, Brother Tim, and said, psst, 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 psst. I think He said, hey, wilt thou be made whole? Now, there's a lot of people laying around there. Now, I wonder why everybody didn't answer. Because they weren't ready to make a change. That's why some of you don't never get saved. You're not ready to make a change. He asked the question, "Wilt thou be made whole?" And then not only our Christ, but notice this confession. In verse 7, the impotent man answered him, "Sir, I have no man when the water's troubled to put me in the pool, but while I'm coming, another steppeth down before me." Now watch your Bible. Confession means something to God. Now, after the confession came the cure. See, you're never going to get no help till you get honest with God. I've noticed I never get help in my praying until I get honest. And let me tell you something. It's not that He don't know about it. He just wants me to tell Him about it. Now, he confessed. He said, "Lord," he said, "I'm in a bad condition because I've got nobody to help me when the water's troubled." I want to park right there just a minute and tell you what happened this week. I was below Cullman, Alabama, preaching in a revival meeting. Me and one of the men went down to Cullman, Alabama, and I looked. And I seen one of the, I believe it's one of the most beautiful buildings I'd ever laid my eyes on. I asked him, I said, "Would y'all take me around the front of that? I want to see that church." I said, I got to see it. When we pulled around, guess what? The door was open. And so I love architectural. I love old things. And man, it's no telling. It's no telling what this building cost. It is unbelievable. The stained glass was in this place. I'm talking about two steeples that was about maybe 80 to 100 feet that just rose above the town. So I had him stop, and Brother Josh was with me, the missionary of the Philippines. And so we walked in the door, and I seen some candles lit. Didn't see nobody around. I walked in a little bit, and I just at awe at looking. All of a sudden, I looked to the back, and there was a little booth about, I guess it's 12 foot long, had a curtain pulled and the light off. And I eased over, and y'all know Brother Josh. He said, "Hey, preacher, they anybody in there?" I eased over, you know, and I couldn't hear nothing going on. Brother Jerry, I reached and looked over in there. And this is what the Lord showed me through that experience last week. Just like this old boy couldn't get in the water because everybody was beating him to it. I'm glad I serve a Jesus that don't have the curtain pulled and the light off. Their priest was gone. But let me tell you where ours is. He's on the right-hand side of the Father, making intercession for me and you, because the Bible says that there is one God, one intercessor, one man between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, paid a ransom for. I said, "Ain't that pitiful? Them poor old people are coming in there Sunday. Walking in there, and some of you ain't going to like this, but I don't care if you like it or not. Amen. Amen. They're on their knees. Yeah. And they whispering to a man that's just as wicked as they are. Right. Amen. Talking to a man's got to get saved just like they do. Amen. There ain't no man can forgive me of my sin nor your sin. But there's one God man that hung on the cross and He lives to make intercession for me and you this morning. And I wouldn't be much of a preacher if I didn't teach the congregation no better than that. That's hogwash. That's blasphemy. Boy, I'm glad Christ died one time. Let me ask y'all something. You say, preacher, you believe once saved, always saved? I sure do. If you get born again, I believe it. And when I sin, He ain't coming down off that cross and getting back up there and dying for me again. He died one time. Boy, I'm glad He's interested in the affairs of men. Now, I said all that to say this, and I'm done. You know what got this boy saved? God showed me this yesterday. Troubled water. You know why that thief got saved on the cross, Brother Jason? Because he had some troubled water. Trouble come in the water and put him on the cross. Introduced him to the Lamb of Glory that could take away his sins. Isn't this amazing this morning? That in all of that troubled water, He didn't come to get him out of trouble. He come to get in trouble with him. A lot of you think just because you're saved, you're not going to have no issues or problems. But I'm glad we don't have to go through them by ourselves. Well, we see the crowd. We see the case, the Christ, the confession. See the cure. Look what He done. He said, arise, walk. Pick up your bed. Isn't it amazing? He come in with his back on the bed. Left out with his bed upon his back. And walked out. And isn't this amazing? Now, after the cure, there's the critics. Isn't it amazing how ugly some people can be? When you go against their little tradition, against their little formula. You know, God can't do nothing unless Baptist wrote it in a manual. But I got news for that crowd. I am Baptist, but Jesus got me before the Baptist got me. You know what? Now, I want to ask y'all something just a minute. Now, he's laid there 38 years. And so, God saved him. He said, now, listen what you do. He said, you access faith. You rise and walk. He got up. Now, I want to ask y'all something. For 38 years, y'all think he might have danced a little bit? See, that's why he got that religious crowd mad, because he wasn't sitting there about to nod off in church. He said, now listen now, we don't want you acting like that in our church because it might go to catching with other people around here. Could you imagine that old boy for 38 years all of a sudden Jesus said, rise and walk. And he jumped up and his pallet hit the ground. He said, praise God, give me that bed. He rolled that bed up and put it up on his shoulder. He went to walk around the corridors of that temple. And there's all them rulers. We're supposed to be quiet up in here. Lord, this man may get so crazy, he may lead somebody in a missions program. Yeah, yeah. And I love what he told them. He said, I'm just doing all I know how. Look where he found himself. Look where Jesus come found him. In the temple. Isn't that amazing? He got saved and went to church. Isn't that amazing? That's amazing to me. I love seeing Brandy here on the front row this morning. God, ain't that a blessing? Ain't that a blessing? Little Caroline, ain't that a blessing? I mean, her little face just a-glowing this morning. I said, Caroline, hon, you still saved? Raise your little hand there this morning. Amen, hon. Let's give the Lord a good hand clap of praise this morning. Well, ain't God good to us? Brandy come in this morning. I get to keep this and all my stuff. She's been away to service a couple of weeks. Brought me in a medal there. Put on the whole armor of God. Pray always. That's a pretty good token to carry in your pocket, is it not?
Miss Julie, would you come this morning? So all that to say this, you might ought to be glad your water got troubled. Because I found out God loves to hang around troubled water. Somebody said, where can I find the Lord? Well, I can tell you, if you want to come, go with me about 2 o'clock. I can tell you where I find Him a lot. It's at funeral homes. You say, where can I find the Lord? I'll tell you where I find Him more than anything. Is in troubled situations. He loves to get into trouble. Matter of fact, if you never had no trouble, you never would know Him to be the God of trouble. I can just say it, oh boy, 38 years. Jesus walked up and asked Him a question. He said, are you tired of being like you are? He said, yeah, but I can't do nothing about it because about time I do, somebody breaks line. He said, stand up and walk. He accessed faith. That's what some of you could do this morning. Maybe you're tired of where you are. You ought to trust Christ to get you out of where you are. Thank God we've got a God that loves us just how we are. And then changes how we are. I love Him today. You mind Him. You come this morning. My sister's going to sing.